38.
Jai Radha Madhav Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Giridhara Dhari Jaya Shidana Nanna Vaja Chana Ranjana Yashoda Nanana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamna Tira Bannachari Jamna Tira Bannachari Balaba Giridhara Dhari Eya Shaira Nanana Vraja Jana Ranjana Eya Shaira Nanana Vraja Jana
Hare Krishna, everybody. Looks like the clouds have come, cooling it off a little bit. We're going to be talking about fire today, so it might get a little warm in here. We're going to read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the third chapter, text 38, which is on the board. We'll invoke the Supreme Lord to come and help deliver this class. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We can read the Sanskrit. Du me na vriyate vanir. Yata darsho malena cha. Vato vena vritto garbhas. Tata tenedam avritam. We can have a couple people if they want to repeat it. Transliteration, Dumena, by smoke, Avriyate is covered, Vani, fire, Yata, just as, Adarshaha, mirror, Malena, by dust, Cha, also, Yata, just as, Ubena, by the womb, Avritaha, is covered, Garbaha, embryo, Tata, so, Tena, by that lust, Idam, this, Avritam, is covered. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust. Purport. There are three degrees of covering of the living entity by which his pure consciousness is obscured. This covering is but lust under different manifestations like smoke in the fire, dust in the mirror, and the womb about the embryo. When lust is compared to smoke, it is understood that the fire of the living spark can be a little perceived. In other words, when the living entity exhibits his Krishna consciousness slightly, he may be likened to the fire covered by smoke. Although fire is necessary where there is smoke, there is no overt manifestation of fire in the early stage. This stage is like the beginning of Krishna consciousness. The dust on the mirror refers to a cleansing process of the mirror of the mind by so many spiritual methods. The best process is to chant the holy names of the Lord. The embryo covered by the womb is an analogy illustrating a helpless position, for the child in the womb is so helpless that he cannot even move. This stage of living condition can be compared to that of the trees. The trees are also living entities, but they have been put in such a condition of life by such great exhibition of lust that they are almost void of all consciousness. The covered mirror is compared to the birds and beasts, and the smoke-covered fire is compared to the human being. In the form of a human being, the living entity may revive a little Krishna consciousness, and if he makes further development, the fire of spiritual life can be kindled in the human form of life. By carefully handling of the smoke and the fire, fire can be made to blaze. Therefore, the human form of life is a chance for the living entity to escape the entanglement of material existence. In the human form of life, one can conquer the enemy lust by cultivation of Krishna consciousness under able guidance. Amam Vishnu, Vadaya Krishna Stavitari, Shimati Bhakti Vinata Swami, Kumar Ninste, Sarasati Deva, Dara, Nature, Shishi, Shimarasha, Purushita. So, this is a nice verse, very descriptive, we can kind of relate to. And it's describing the poor little spirit soul inside of these different entities' bodies, and how it's all because of lust, not necessarily here, you know, the fanciful, you know, sex life of that, but lust meaning desire. The human form of life is just full of desire. We have just like a mini storehouse, you know, with all the different compartments, and each one is full of desire for sports, desire for the opposite sex, desire for money, desire for, there's so many things that we've accumulated. It's amazing how we can store all this. And gradually they all start coming out, and then we somehow or other get convinced by the illusory energy, the material energy, that go for it. Go after, run after the goose. What do they call it? Chase the goose. You know, try to catch hold and see if you can be satisfied by trying to relieve your lust. So it's hankering and lamenting, but it very much is entangling and is never really satisfied. There's a nice little verse that describes this. Similarly, is the nature, the material body, although temporary, has a very special use. The living entity is given a chance from the beginning of the creation to evolve different kinds of material bodies according to this reserved desires he has accumulated from time immemorial. So this is like, we have this reserve of all these different desires coming from, we really can't remember where, because it's even from other lifetimes that they've been put in storage. But it's described that this is a very special chance in human form that we can have this developed consciousness and try to get out of this entanglement. So this is an important responsibility for the living entity. Now, who likes to go camping? Anybody like to go camping? Yeah, especially to get out of the south. You go up north to the mountains and the woods, and it's cool and it's nice. And the nicest part about camping is you, at night you make a fire, right? Nice campfire, and it's pretty mesmerizing, you know, looking into the fire, and it's, you know, very meditative. But it's amazing that here you go and you just collect some piece of wood, even just any piece of wood, even a pencil, any kind of a piece of wood, and you just light it, and all of a sudden this energy comes out in the form of fire. And that fire can heat you, it can warm you up, it can give you fuel to cook your meal in, it can do amazing things. You wonder, you know, it gives you light, and you wonder, you know, it's just a pencil or just a piece of wood, but all of a sudden, inert, inside, there's fire. You don't see it, but as soon as you light it, poof, it comes on fire. So similarly, we are like that piece of wood, this material body. Doesn't look like much, especially when it's falling apart like mine is, or many people in the room also. But inside is a spark. It's a spark of a spirit soul, and that spirit soul has so much energy. It's the real living part, and it's full of loving service to God. Right now we're serving just the material body, this big piece of firewood, but really inherent inside is a desire to really serve and to love God. It just has to be ignited. So this is a very special time in the human form of life, because we can have that opportunity to do that. The living entity is more brilliant than the sun, it's described. But it's just being hidden in this darkness of the misidentity that we're this body. There's a nice description of this spark. It's in the Krishna book. I was reading it the other night. It's really nice. It says, it is stated in several places that the living entities are like sparks of the fire, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is like the fire itself. Somehow or other, when the sparks fall out of the fire, they lose their natural illumination. Thus it is ascertained that the living entities come into the material world exactly as sparks fall from a great fire. The living entity wants to imitate Krishna and tries to lord it over material nature. Thus he forgets his original position and his illuminating power, his spiritual identity, is extinguished. However, if a living entity takes to Krishna consciousness, he is reinstated in his original position. So there is hope for that spark to become illuminated again, that our self-realization can actually be perceived. So when you're looking at the fire, sometimes you see those little sparks, they fly off, and if you forgot to remove your rug, you know, in front of your fireplace, good chances it's going to get burned, because it's dry, it's perfect. It's like dry grass, it's described. And then, but if I go outside and I put a fire out here on the grass and a spark falls off, it goes on the green vegetation, it might, you know, just spark for a minute and then it goes out. And then if I go and I try to, like in Girl Scouts, you're always told to make a fire and to put water all around the area so that, you know, it can't go past that in case it gets out of hand. So similarly, if a spark goes on a big old wet field, it doesn't do anything. It just immediately goes out. So it's described that, just like here, that in human form of life, if we're serious, if we're in the mode of goodness, if we're ready to get out of this material world, we're submissive, we want to hear about the absolute truth, we're anxious for self-realization, then we're like dry wood. And that when that spark falls on us, we can make great advancement in discovering who we really are. But those in passion and ignorance, passionate people may have had a bad experience in spiritual life, or maybe they're just too busy, they're distracted by the material energy, and then the ignorant person just wants to sleep. So they don't have that opportunity. They miss that opportunity to blaze up and to understand who they really are. So it's very important that we really take this opportunity, because the spirit soul is described. Actually, the spirit soul is described as amazing. It's seen as amazing. It's heard of as amazing. But even hearing about it, people can't really understand what it is because it's so wonderful. Just think of the little spark in Srila Prabhupada. That little spark, what he accomplished in his lifetime. When he was my age, he was going around the world spreading Krishna consciousness. He started a spiritual revolution. This one spirit soul did so much because he was on fire. He was fired up to distribute Krishna consciousness. So we should use this spark. We should get it to blaze again so that we can become happy. And then our life has some meaning to it. Otherwise, it really doesn't. It just will be extinguished very quickly. Now, when you go into a campground, sometimes there'll be a picture of who? Smokey the Bear, right? Right? They have Smokey the Bear, and it's standing next to a little sign that says the conditions of the fire are high or low, right? And then you have to be careful. Sometimes they say you can't have a campfire. But we understand that the scriptures say that the conditions in human form of life are perfect. So take advantage. And this we can do is described in another little verse here. It says that those who don't take advantage, this is what happens. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. So if we're not responsible, we're not taking care of that soul, then there's a place for those people. It's very dark. And it's not a desirable place that we want to go. And even this material world now, it can be very dark and ugly. So we have to choose to use our intelligence, because this is the most important substance that the human body has, is that we have this developed intelligence. We can ask questions, and we find out who we really, really are. And we can choose to act in favor of Krishna, or we can act against him. We can just go against him. I was with my daughter the other day, and she always kind of informs me what's going on in the material world as far as technology, and she's a teacher. And she says, now there's this thing you can get on your phone or on your computer, and it's called, she wrote it down, I forget what it is already. But anyway, it's an artificial intelligence. And you can go, you know what it is, Sharanagar? Chat something, yeah, G something. And you can go on there, and that intelligence will tell you anything you want. She says, the teacher can say, okay, I need a word problem for math, can you make that? It goes, certainly. And in one half of a second, you have a word problem that you can use. And I asked it a question. I said, what's the absolute truth? And it goes, well, actually, there's a lot of opinions, certainly. And it says, actually, there's a lot of opinions on this, and it got out of it. But it couldn't really tell you, you know, it says, it kind of depends, you know, and can't say, you know. But, and she had it grade papers for her, and it made a mistake, and it apologized. And now teachers are having a problem, and colleges are having a problem, because you say, write a short story, and in 1 second has a short story. It can write a novel. It can do any of these things. And so now you hand in a paper, and they don't know if it's from the AI on your computer or it's you. So misuse of intelligence. Now we've created this artificial intelligence that the people who made it said, I think we've created a monster. You know, now people are going to get lazy. Are you really going to learn anything? Are you really going to know anything? What less spiritual life? I did have it look up this verse, and it found it, and it gave me some comments on it. I didn't use them, don't worry. But it made sense, and it's like a whole other world, anyway, to me. But it's freaky. So spiritually, we need to ask questions to the proper source, and that is to this Bhagavad Gita and to the Supreme Lord and his representative. And that way we can utilize our intelligence to really understand who we are. Otherwise, Prabhupada says over and over and over and over again, if you don't utilize your intelligence, you're no better than an animal. How many times in the scriptures, how many times in lectures, morning walks? He says, I know I'm being heavy, but it's the truth. Without answering the proper questions and utilizing it, to find out who you are, you're no better than the animals. And it's not fun to be an animal. Well, it's been like 100 degrees this week, and I look at the poor cows, and I have to go by them, and they're like trying to find the shade, the shadiest part of the, you know, and they're just like, you know, panting like anything. And it's miserable for them. And then all of a sudden, you know, lightning strikes. One time, before I came to this temple, which was a real long time ago, the animals were scared. It was a big storm. They went under this tree that's no longer here, a big, huge tree, to get out. And lightning struck the tree, and it went down, and the oxen were over here, and their feet were over here. It knocked them right out of their shoes. So no fun to be an animal. And we were in the Vrindadevi temple, and there was all these carpenter ants started coming in. I guess they wanted to get out of the rain. And I noticed they were going under this little piece of strip. So we decided we didn't want to kill them. We sucked them out with a vacuum, and we blew it out with compressed air. And Johnny Tai goes, look at the poor insects. They're all carrying them, looking for their babies and carrying them, and they're freaking out. And I thought, God, to be an insect, this big thing comes by, and, you know, it's like total disaster in 1 second. So best not to be an animal. Best to utilize this human form of life. In scriptures, many times it describes that the human form is like a boat. It's a very wonderful cruising boat that can go across this ocean of material suffering very easily if you have a nice breeze, which is the Vedas, the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and you have a good captain. That's definitely necessary to have a captain. And this spiritual master is like the flame that's going to light that piece of wood and get it warmer and warmer, and so that it can blaze. Without that, you're not going to get anywhere. It'll just be a piece of wood without that little ignition. I was at my sister's up in the cabin, and we had a fire. It was really cold. And usually you have to put your paper and then little sticks, and then you put your bigger sticks, and then you put your wall. It's a whole thing making a fire. But now, with technology, it just has a little teeny tube come up, and you turn on your LP, your gas, and you don't need all that stuff. You just leave it on for like 5 minutes, and it gets that firewood going, and then you just turn it off, and it goes. So it's fast, it's quick. So our fuel is the holy name. It's a concession from Lord Chaitanya that we can very quickly, when we don't have much time in this lifetime, we can very quickly become purified and get on fire for self-realization. The holy name is an amazing, amazing thing. I have a nice verse here. As a fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail the reactions of one's sinful activities. So this fire, this holy name is non-different than Krishna. Just like we said, the spark is coming from Krishna. It has the same quality as being able to burn. So in the same way, this fire is Krishna. It's very purifying. It can purify our consciousness so that we can connect with him again. And that's what yoga is all about. And that's what this bhakti is all about, is to set ourselves on fire with this holy name. It's so easy. Anyone can purchase the holy name. It's free. Anyone can chant it. You can chant it anywhere, any amount of time. And it has that effect of increasing our faith and our conviction and getting that fire very, very strong so we can make some serious advancement in this lifetime. This human form of life can take us over and get rid of all the animal births that we're probably, you know, do, and all the other simple activities that we've had. And it can take us to the other side, to spiritual understanding. But there are some setbacks that can happen. But if you have a really strong blaze, then even if you sprinkle some water on it, it won't go out. But if you haven't that strength, which happens sometimes, a big flood will come or the energy will put a big downpour on you, and all of a sudden float to the surface are these old habits and old desires that you thought you got rid of, and they pop up again, and then your blaze kind of starts going out again, even sometimes on a daily basis. It's like, oh, you know, I gotta get fired up here. But the holy name is there. And we noticed that we have a burn pile out back here, and we take all of our rubbish back there and we burn it. And sometimes it's a big pile, and it goes on for quite a few hours. And then at night, if you drive by, you'll see this red light, these burning cinders in there. And it lasts for sometimes days. And so our fire, once we do devotional service, it's not going to really go out. It can be revived quickly. All you have to do, I've done it before, I see, oh, I forgot a few things, and I just throw it on that list, cinders, and poof, it all blazes up again, right? Because it's there. So once we do devotional service, we'll never forget it. And Krishna never forgets it. And we can blaze again. So there's only wonderful advancement in Krishna consciousness. I mean, sometimes those little ghostly, creepy desires pop up, but if you're strong, you can get rid of them. And the more pure you get, the closer you get to Krishna, and then the more pleased he is with your service, then he will reveal himself to you in different ways. And that really increases your understanding. So we have to learn how to meet Krishna. Prabhupada said in a lecture that this bhakti yoga is an opportunity to have the acquaintance of Krishna. We can actually be acquainted with him. We can find out who he is. We can begin to have a relationship with him. So this is something that we have to be trained in. We have to be trained how to dress properly, how to speak properly, how to say nice words to Krishna, how to praise him, how to respect him, what to do, what not to do, how to behave to the Vaishnavas, to his dear Vaishnavas. And this is called sadachar. It's the preparation or the behavior of a saintly person, which we all should be aspiring for, which Prabhupada spent a lot of time trying to teach us, although he said it was like washing coal. Little difficult here of our Western habits are quite ingrained, but it will take in time the effect of us becoming more pure and qualified. Sometimes I think, you know, how is it that I'm sitting on this chair, I'm a devotee now, and I'm speaking, you know, about love of God and everything, and I think, you know, how did I get here from where I was? You know, I mean, I was, you know, your past has its good, its bad, and its ugly. Well, I had my good. My parents raised me to be very clean. And but the bad part was that they were very materialistic. They had a lot of money, and they were very materialistic. And the ugly part was that they were very bigoted. Anyone lower than them who wasn't in the country club was considered, forget it, you know. But they had to train me to be like them, of course. And so at the age of 11, I was sent for preparation to what's called cotillion. Does anyone know what cotillion is? Whoa, nobody hardly. Shad Rotman knew what it was. He had to go through it. At the age of 11, those that want their kids to be in society, to be civilized human beings, quote, are sent to this place where you learn. There's boys and girls from all the families in the city, and they learn how to eat with a knife and fork, how to invite someone to dance, how to eat properly, speak properly, all this stuff. Went against my grain. I'd rather have been, you know, jumping on a horse or climbing trees. But anyway, what? Cotillion. Look it up. It's learned how to behave, to be accepted into society. Proper behavior. And then I was sent to what's called, it gets you ready for your debut. It's called coming out. You come out and you show yourself to society. Here I am. I'm so wonderful. You should accept me. And this is what people do. I mean, it's outrageous, right? And then there was a sorority scene, which luckily I skirted around almost all of that. Somehow or other. I had to go to cotillion. But the other things I skirted around. And I'm glad I did. But it was a shock when I called my parents and said, well, I've joined a society. It's the Hare Krishna Society. I'm dancing, and I'm learning how to eat prasadam. And their dreams were shattered, of course. And but it's the opposite. We're learning how to be humble, how to know that we're insignificant, that everyone is equal to everybody else. They're all spirit, soul. You know, and so this is real human life, and this is what we should be cultivating. So this is the ultimate goal, is to become the servant of the servant, which a lot of people have a hard time accepting, but it's actually the perfection of life. And it makes you totally satisfied, because in your heart, Krishna is so happy that you finally turned to him and dedicated your life to him. So this is stops the hankering, except you hanker for Krishna to make nice things, bring nice offerings like these beautiful flowers for Krishna, and offerings of whatever you have, just like all these boys that have been grinding the sandalwood, using their energy in that way. So this is the real perfection of our life. But now, human life has become very complicated, hasn't it? It's become so complicated. Artificial intelligence. And if you went on the news yesterday, you saw the first conference of what? Of robots. The robots all had a conference. The people that made them were in the audience, and they all were talking with each other, disagreeing with each other. And, you know, who's real? Who, you know, what's going on in this material world? You know, what is it's so unreal as it is, and now it's even more unreal with robots and artificial intelligence. So everything's very complicated, and we're totally attached to what? Every one of us. Look in front of everybody. Phones. We're totally attached to this technological thing. See, look, he's looking up something right now. I'm sure everyone has one with him. We're totally attached. If we lose it for an hour, we freak out. We completely freak out if we don't have it. I've seen people take them up, you know, trying to put the garland on Prabhupada holding their phone, you know. Let it go for a little while, you know. But it's true. We're addicted. And it's complicated our life. We think it's made it simpler. But I tell you, not having one, a long time ago, it was a lot simpler. So we should realize that this little spark, we have to take care of it. We have to fire it up. We have to give it more fuel, more chanting, more association with the devotees. That also helps it blaze. And we have to let us be sparks and go out and try to ignite that fire, that desire to become self-realized in other people also. And at least give them the holy name. That holy name will do the work, as we said before. It's extremely powerful. So I thought I'd end with a glorification of the holy name, which, if you'd be patient, but it's a beautiful song. So try to relate to it. More sweet than all other sweet things, more auspicious than all other auspicious things, the greatest purifier of all purifying things, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. The entire universe, from exalted Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass, is a product of the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, the only thing that is reality. Reality. Again, I say reality. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. That person is a true preceptor or a true father, a true mother, a true friend, also only if they teach one to always remember the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. There is no certainty when the last breath will come and put an abrupt halt to all one's material plans. Therefore, it is wise to always practice chanting from very childhood. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Lord Hari eternally dwells in that place where truly exalted spiritual advanced souls sing in the mood of pure devotion. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Oh, what a sorrow, what a sorrow! More painful than any other misery in the world. Mistaking it as a mere piece of glass, the people have forgotten this jewel. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. It should be heard again and again with one's ears. It should be uttered over and over with one's voice. It should be perpetually sung and sung anew. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. It makes the entire universe seem insignificant as a blade of grass. It splendorously reigns supreme over all. It is full of eternally conscious divine ecstasy. It is supremely pure. The holy name of Sri alone is everything. So it's a matter of chanting purely. So we have to gather the proper firewood. We have to fire good association in the holy name. There's a kind of wood in South Florida. It's called oleander. Have you ever heard of it? Oleander, it grows in Houston. It grows, I don't see it so much here, but it's very poisonous. It's so poisonous that a long time ago, people used to take little bits of the leaves and put it in the husband's salad if they didn't like their husband. Finished in a short time. And it was so powerful, the wood was so powerful that George Washington, when he came down from the north, that he, it was kind of cold up in like South Carolina, Virginia, or somewhere down there. And it was really cold in the winter, and he had them cut off these branches of this bush, of the oleander, and light a fire. And they all slept close to the fire. Next morning, they were all dead. So this wood, this can also be very poisonous, and that is the offenses in chanting the holy name. And also offenses to the devotees, and offenses to the spiritual master. So we have to be very careful that we're fueling, have the right fuel. And so it's best to always give our respects. Vanchakalpa, Trivischa, Kripa Sindhu, Bevacha, Patipanam, Pavani, Bhira Vaishnava, Bhira. And spread the holy name wherever we go. So maybe someone would like to make some comments or have some questions. Oh, there's a hand up there. Very enthusiastic hand.
Hare Krishna, Mother Akuti. Thank you for the wonderful class. So on the topic of the soul being the spark, in the Bhagavad Gita says it's 1,000th, the 10th size, the tip of a hair. It's very small. So we also believe we are personalist. How is the spiritual body also that small as well in that little spark? And to be able to associate with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is there a spiritual body in there?
It's amazing. It's amazing. And even if you hear about it, you aren't ever going to understand it. But that spirit soul is very big. I mean, look what it can do. It's very powerful. We can't conceive of how big it really is, although it is big, but it's very small.
But when you say spiritual spark, are you also talking about the spiritual body?
I'm talking about the body, yeah. That spark is a person. It's not just a...
energy.
No, it's a person. And it comes from is in the image of the Supreme Lord.
I've also heard that the Brahma Jyoti is made up of all the sparks of the living entities.
Yeah, that's just the effulgence of Krishna. That's not that's just coming off of him. That's the shiny stuff.
So is the effulgence?
But it's not the person. Krishna.
Is the effulgence of Krishna the same as the sparks of the living entities?
We can just hang out there, and just be that little speck inside of all that brilliance, but not much fun.
Thank you, Mati.
Better be of some use. And when Krishna sees that you're turning to him, he goes, finally, okay, now let me use you. Just like Prabhupada said, okay, what would you like me to do? And actually, a spiritual master told him before he even asked, go to the West. So we have that opportunity to ask our spiritual master, what's the best thing to me in this lifetime? And be submissive in that regard. Anybody else?
Hi, Bo Mother Kuti, thank you. Hearing your class really brings about a sense of urgency, to act on these things right away, because we never know what's going to happen to us when we assume that we're going to be around, but we don't know. But as soon as I leave the temple or a few days from now, I kind of might lose that sense of urgency that's very important. How do you recommend to keep that in our mind?
If you're always engaged in Krishna service, there's ninefold processes. There's hearing, there's chanting. So when you go outside, you can hear and chant. You can find someone to talk to about Krishna. That's really get you fired up, I guarantee you. You can go take prasadam. That'll fire you up. So pretty much all day, you can, you have a project for Krishna, or you're raising kids for Krishna, or you're doing some service for the temple. But the conscious awareness, we have to practice that. I know that if you're doing a service, sometimes you'll be doing it just like on automatic, and it's not the same as if someone, one time someone came by when I was doing Radharani's hair and said, do you know that you're braiding Radharani's hair? And I go, oh yeah, I am. And so it's helpful if you have friends that will remind you what we are really doing here. That we're doing this eco farm for Krishna. We're doing this for Krishna. We're doing
so
that.
So whatever we do it for Krishna.
That's right. And the more conscious you are that you are doing it for Krishna, the more you'll get out of it. It has more blazing effect. It goes deeper and gets rid of those desires. So let's be attentive, just like in your chanting. The more attentive you are, it's so much nicer chanting. So wonderful. But if you're just like, you got your bead bag and your, kirtan's going on, you're trying to chant your rounds, not the same. Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a wonderful class. I really enjoy your humor and keeping some of these what could be very complicated, very complicated subjects pretty simple to understand. I appreciate that. I came in a moment late, so forgive me if this question was already answered. But in the passage, my question is just, who is the able guidance that can help us to defeat the enemy lust?
It'll be your spiritual master, his instructions. Those instructions are what will help us to give up our bad habits. Just like Srila Prabhupada came upon, I think it was Shyamasundar, who had a bad habit of smoking when he first came to the temple. But Prabhupada was very kind and said, can you carve Lord Jagannath? And Prabhupada came in to see how he was doing, and the pack of cigarettes was sitting on top of Lord Jagannath's head. And he says, don't let this little thing get in the way between you and Krishna, And so immediately, he never smoked again. That instruction from the spiritual master is so powerful that it can immediately engage you in some pure devotional service. So, he's our guide, he's our master, he's our captain, he's everything. And he's the one that initiates you into the holy name. And we really need that. And then he gets you to make the vows. And once you're in. Okay, so thank you very much. Shri Baba Ki Jai.